welcome to Changing the Narrative. I'm David Reeves, your host, and we are changing the narrative every day. Every week on the podcast, we are challenging the atheistic narratives that somehow we're nothing more than chance, that we're evolution, the result of random processes over millions of years. But more than that, we're told that we're cosmic accidents, that we're star stuff, and that has done a lot to human value. It's done a lot to our self-confidence, and it's done a lot to undermine the authority of God's word. Well, we are changing the narrative every day and in every way. And today I have someone with me, a good friend who has been changing the narrative for quite a while now. His name is Michael Mahon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
It is great to have you on.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Well, tell me just a little bit. You're based out of East Tennessee.
Yes.
Okay. And you have a mission, a ministry called Genesis Animal Sanctuary. Now, in the beginning, we read about the origin of all of the animal kinds, right? That can be found in the book of Genesis. But you have created an animal sanctuary where you're taking in animals that some of them have been pets but sort of neglected. Sometimes they're in a bad spot. And you take care of these things, nurture them back to health, and then you use them for good. Tell me just a little bit about that for a moment.
Yeah, so we started out with just a few animals, and then the rescue started expanding, and so did our program. So we started taking in these animals and being able to rehab them and train them so that we can take them around to schools and churches and events and show people the incredible design of the animal kingdom.
That's pretty neat. That is pretty neat. I want you to back up, and I want you to tell me your story. How did you get there? What was this progression?
Yeah, so I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
I always loved animals growing up. It was something that was, I loved going out in nature and catching snakes and playing and handling birds, all that stuff. I loved animals, but my favorite thing to do was flips.
Okay.
And that was something I was pretty good at. And so I did gymnastics growing up, and I switched to diving during high school. Okay. And then after that, I decided not to go to college. I was like, it's not for me. Yeah. I want to join the circus.
Wow.
So that's what I did. Parents weren't super happy when they heard that at first, but as soon as I graduated high school, I moved up to New York to perform in a small show up there.
Okay.
And then right after that, I moved to Las Vegas and got to perform in one of the biggest shows in the world.
My goodness. Okay. Now, your time in New York, I hear that there might have even been fire involved.
Yeah. So with that show, I got to dress up like a leopard.
Okay.
So I got my animal passions in there too. It was awesome. And we got to set ourselves on fire. So that was really fun because we went to Walmart and bought two hoodies, two pairs of sweatpants, two pairs of socks, some welding gloves, a towel, and a cable. We tied the cable to the towel, and then we soaked that towel in gasoline.
Wow.
We put on our hoodies and our pants and our socks. Kids, don't try this at home. And we jumped in the pool, so we got soaking wet, threw the towel on, and then we climbed up about 20 feet on this little platform, and we lit ourselves on fire. Stood up there and danced, and so you grab the hood, you pulled it over, and you hold it like that so your face doesn't get burnt off.
Right.
And I will say, I did not get paid enough to do that.
But you eventually got to douse yourself off in water and kind of.
So we would jump off that platform and dive into the water, and that would extinguish us. And then
you got the chance to move to an amazing dream job with one of the biggest shows on planet Earth. Incredible performances in Las Vegas. And you're diving off of these high platforms as part of these shows, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we were at really high, up to like 85 feet every night performing. It was a dream show. That was, when I was a kid, that's what I wanted to do. Yeah. I was like, I want to perform in this particular show.
Yes.
And the first time I met the casting director, I went to do an audition, and she basically wouldn't audition me because I was too skinny. And so all the guys in that show are short, and just jacked.
Gotcha.
And all the guys are really big, so I didn't fit the body style of the show, and they have to keep it consistent. So I was like, ah. So I went and I trained really hard for 2 years.
Okay.
And I got a skill set that was kind of perfect for the show.
Yeah.
And God opened the door. And I went and met her to go to an audition, and she had the people who do what I do leaving the show.
Okay.
And so I got to come in and basically just do solos.
How about that?
So I didn't have to do any of the big numbers with choreography. I'm such a bad dancer. So bad. But I got this like dream show where I could come up with a lot of my own content and get to perform in front of thousands of people every night.
That's crazy. That is amazing. What an opportunity. Okay. Yeah. What changed?
What changed? Yeah. So during that time of my life was not following Christ at all. And we were filming a PR event for a famous talk show. Mm-hmm. I was doing a handstand on top of two guys and my finger just kind of popped.
Okay.
And this was not, doing handstands on top of people was not out of the ordinary. Yep. And my finger just clicked and I went down to the ground. I was like, I can't move my finger. Wow. So I went off stage to health services and I was like, I think it's dislocated. They pulled it and it made a nice little juicy sound. And they were like, we got to pull you out. So they pulled me out of that event. And then we went to the doctor and started trying to figure out what was going on, because I knew something was wrong. Yeah. I could feel it. It wasn't right. And I ended up having avascular necrosis.
Okay.
So I lost blood supply. They don't know how it happens. Super rare in your hands. Yeah. And the end of the bone collapsed. And
wow.
I couldn't hold on to anything and it ended my career.
Is that right? Okay, so this seems like an easy way to get discouraged. How did you take it and where did it go from there?
So I didn't take it super great at first. I was pretty mad that 18 years of training was gone in an instant. And that was my entire identity. Everything was wrapped up in like Michael the gymnast, Michael the acrobat. And so when that was gone, it's like, who am I, kind of? And so I started looking at my other passions. The other thing I was super passionate about was animals.
Okay.
And so I started looking for a job in animals, working at a zoo. Ended up starting in outdoor education and looking for some wildlife rescues to look at or work at.
Gotcha.
And through that, I started studying.
Okay.
In depth
about these animals
and that process brought me to God. I was like, this is incredible. Like, this is designed. It doesn't just happen. And God took away the thing I most loved, which was being an acrobat, like doing flips, and he took that away from me, and it was the best thing that's ever happened. Like, I can't be more thankful for this tiny little injury in my hand,
right?
Because that caused me to look
to look in at yourself, then to look out at nature, to see the beauty and the design of nature, and then that brought you closer to Christ.
Yeah. Seeing it, and it changed my world when I started looking at stuff as created.
Yeah.
Because it just gives you a whole new perspective on God.
Yes.
The creator of the universe. You like hear that, like, in the beginning God created.
Right.
But when you actually realize that and you process that, mm-hmm. and you can see stuff and you can train yourself to notice the little things that God's done, it just lets you worship him so much more and all the time. It's incredible.
Now, you are able to take some of these creatures, you are able to travel with some of them and talk to adults, children, families, show them the animals, which are beautiful in and of themselves, but then start to talk about the design of the animals and to talk about how they certainly appear created, that there are horrible problems to believing that something like this could come by purely naturalistic means.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's almost a witnessing opportunity.
Yeah, and that's what we use the animals for.
Okay.
We kind of leverage animals. We use them to show people how incredible design there is in these animals, how incredible God's design is, and to be able to share the gospel with people.
That's so neat.
And it opens up so many doors for us to be able to get in places we otherwise wouldn't have access to.
Absolutely. You are also involved in a camp, Doe River Gorge, that is in East Tennessee. And you, it's a beautiful place with a railroad going through it up into the mountains. But you've been able to fuse just a little bit of those acrobatics in the camp. What is, you had me up on top of a, I think it was on top of a telephone pole. explain this.
Yeah, so we call it the leap of faith.
Okay.
And it's a 30-foot telephone pole, and you climb up and stand on top, and then there's a trapeze pretty far away, and you have to jump off and grab it. And so you're tied in, of course.
Yep.
But you get to jump off and grab this trapeze, and it is really scary. When you get up there, that pole's shaking, and it's a super fun thing. But we use that because it breaks down barriers, and you can get kids out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then everything we do out there, we bring it back to Christ.
Amen. That's so neat. It was quite terrifying. My knees were shaking more than the pole, but the more my knees shook, the more the pole shook. So that's just the way it works.
Yep.
And then you bring out animals. You also go to churches, schools, different events and things like that, and you bring these animals. One, I want you to share about Alex.
Alex. Yeah, so Alex is our Eurasian Eagle Owl.
Okay.
And he is a super impressive bird. People don't get up close to these magnificent animals very often. So when you bring an owl out, people just flock to you.
Absolutely.
And so we go to events, and we will have kind of a lame booth. We'll just have like a table, and then we'll be holding it out, and we'll have a line of people coming to see this magnificent bird.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, because then we get a chance to talk to him and engage with the public, and it's not forced. They're super interested in what you have to say.
Sure.
And it unlocks more doors. I thought it would be effective when we started using animals.
Yeah.
And it's been beyond effective to be able to share with people the good news of the gospel.
And that's really unique, because it seems like animals are universally seen as this, as either beautiful or interesting or designed or whatever it is, right? Which only makes sense from a biblical perspective, because I'm not saying that all beauty is universal, but universally, we do all recognize beautiful things. And I put beautiful things in air quotes for those who are listening on the podcast right now. But how do we know that they're beautiful? How do we all instinctively see those things as beautiful if we all evolved through natural processes? But if we were created in the image of God, wonderfully made, and our Creator has this ability to not only recognize beauty, he created beauty, then he created us in his image with just this tiny fraction of his ability to recognize beauty, then it makes sense that we would look at his creation and we would say, whoa, and it would leave us in awe.
Yeah, and it does. It leaves you in awe.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you dive in just a little bit. You don't have to go far to just be in awe of the design. Design doesn't happen by random chance.
No, a design implies a designer. That's what I always say. And most of the greatest scientists of all times have recognized the philosophical implications of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at design, you look at apparent engineering in all of these creatures, and it implies that there must be a divine engineer. We know who that engineer is because we know the Lord. And we have his book on how he created these things. That's what's so cool. We're not limited to just guessing about it, right?
Yeah.
We've actually got his history book that says, okay, in the beginning, I created these things. I made them according to their kinds. I made them where they could breed together, but a hippopotamus is not going to turn into a giraffe. You know, it gives us all of this clear instruction, and it's written as a historical narrative, which means it's not a fairy tale. This is something complete with, even though if it's not extensive detail, it's still very detailed. It gives dates, it gives ages, it gives times, it gives very specific facts. And those are the kind of things that you expect to find within an accurate history book.
Yeah. One of my friends said, the Bible knows best. And I think he was right. I mean, you look and the Bible knows best. It lines up perfectly with what we see in nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you live on a farm with a number of animals. Tell me about some of the animals. You got a number of dogs. You have then all of these reptiles. Tell me about some of the animals.
Yeah, so we have a farm. We have a few rescue horses and then a few horses that my wife uses for barrel racing and teaching riding lessons. Mm-hmm. We have two dogs.
Okay.
That one of them got dropped off and we took them in. And then we have a few goats, just some farm animals. And then our animal sanctuary is right next to our house. And I think right now we have about 65 animals there.
Wow.
And yeah, there's a lot 65. To take care of. Yeah. So we have an awesome team of volunteers that come in and help us take care of everything so that we're doing a good job stewarding what God's given us. And we occasionally go and we get specific animals like Alex to use as ambassadors, because it's stuff that you don't get to see and it's not something you're ever going to get in as a rescue animal, because we just do exotics.
Yes.
And we train these birds. We have so many parrots. We have so many parrots, and it's so loud. You walk in there and they want attention.
Yes.
And some of our birds can scream at 135 decibels.
Wow.
So you kind of have to wear earplugs while you're in there, or it hurts your ears.
You have this one, I don't know what type of bird it is. It's got a little bit of yellow on its crown. Is it a macaw or what is it?
I think that's a sulfur-crested cockatoo.
Sulfur-crested cockatoo. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's also fairly loud.
Yeah, she can be pretty loud.
Okay.
She doesn't she's not as noisy as some of the other ones, but we have a Moluccan cockatoo. It's like a big salmon-colored bird.
Okay.
And she is loud and noisy.
Is that right?
And she wants to be pet by me.
Yeah.
Always. So if I'm in there, she's screaming.
Really?
My wife goes in there and she's like, she's not that bad.
Yeah.
And I go in there and I can't not have headphones on.
Really?
Because 135 decibels. That's like similar to a jet engine.
Okay.
It's crazy.
That is pretty neat. And then you have another exotic. It's a pig, is it?
Yes, don't mention the pig. We have a pig, a potbelly pig, and he is awesome at what he does, but what he does is breaking everything.
Oh yeah.
So if he gets out of his pen, he just like puts his nose in your yard and runs.
Really?
And you'll walk out and you're like, you just dug up half my yard in 20 minutes trying to find stuff to eat.
Yeah.
And he's a really cool animal, but he does occasionally cause me a few headaches. Not my favorite. And one time we got a box of rats. So we order like thousands of frozen rats.
For the snakes?
For snakes, owls, all the animals that eat them, lizards, caiman. And they set it outside my garage, and our pig was in our yard running around, and he got into it, and he put rats all over my yard.
Is that
he, right? Like, got them out and just strewn them everywhere. And I walked out, and there was, like, 200 rats all over my yard. I was not happy.
All right.
To say the least.
You mentioned just a second ago a caiman. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So someone ordered a caiman online, which is like a little alligator, for their turtle tank. And then soon after, they were like, this is not a nice animal.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be messed with. And if he bites, it's going to hurt. And so we ended up with him.
How about that? I've had the opportunity to hold him before.
Yep.
I did not want to let go because I did not want him to swing around there. But are you able to train him at all? Are you able to teach him things?
Yeah. So they're really, really smart.
Okay.
They're smarter than you would think. And for a reptile, they're very smart.
You named him Bubbles.
I named him Bubbles. And he took about a year and a half of working with pretty much every day. And now he's relatively friendly.
Okay.
I don't necessarily trust him, but I can pick him up and work with him, and he's not trying to bite me.
Okay.
He's pretty calm, and he does really well. We don't use him in shows that often, but when we do, he's a showstopper, and he's only about 2 feet long.
Wow.
But okay,
how long will he get?
He'll get about 5 feet.
About 5 feet long.
Yeah.
So caiman, we're talking about very similar to an alligator, but on a smaller scale.
Yeah, a lot of the caiman are smaller, and they're from South America,
okay,
but they're the same family.
Okay, Interesting.
As alligators.
And they're very beautiful. Very, but when you see those hundreds of teeth just kind of sticking out around the mouth, though, you're, it's a humbling experience. It's like, well, maybe I should be careful around this.
Yeah.
Okay. Now talk to me a little bit about the snakes, especially, I don't know if you still have them. At one point you had a snake that, in the light, it's almost iridescent. He glows like this rainbow color.
Yeah, so his name is Noah the Rainbow Boa.
Okay.
He's a Brazilian rainbow boa, and they're probably the most beautiful snake on the planet. Yeah. They have an amazing pattern, and then when they're in the sunlight, their scales like refract the light, and it looks like he has an oil spill on them.
That's crazy.
And he is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And he loves to hold on to stuff. So when you're holding him, he like wraps up. They like to climb.
Uh-huh.
And you can just feel how powerful that snake is. Whenever you hold them.
Very, Noah the boa.
Cool. Yeah. Noah the boa.
I love it. You have a bird that he likes to pick his feathers off because he was abused before you got him or whatever.
We have
a lot of birds that
like to pick. So I think the one you're mentioning is Cracker. She's our green-winged macaw.
There we go.
And she came from an abuse situation. She was in a cage designed for parakeets another macaw.
And
she's a big bird.
Right.
And so they couldn't even turn around. All her tail feathers were broken off, and she had a lot less feathers than she does now.
Wow.
But they only pluck in captivity. That's not something you'll see them doing in the wild.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that she is trying to pull out the feathers.
Yeah.
And devolve into a dinosaur so she can escape being in captivity.
That makes sense. Have you seen those feathers turn into little scales?
I haven't seen that yet.
Not yet.
But she has damaged the follicles.
Okay.
So her entire chest is naked. She has no feathers. She looks like a rotisserie chicken.
Wow.
And yeah, they do that because they get stressed. And
okay.
If you're not prepared
yeah.
for one of these big birds, you got to know what you're doing, because they are very, very intelligent and they get super stressed.
Yeah.
And they'll pull out their feathers, and then it becomes a habit, like biting your nails.
Right.
And so even if she's not stressed, she'll still kind of pick just a little bit. She doesn't do it as bad anymore, but.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because I know that we've been given dominion over the animal kingdom. Dominion means that we don't let it control us, but it doesn't mean that we abuse it, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times we say, oh, let's get a pet, let's get something really neat, let's get a chameleon, let's get a parrot, let's get a this, and a lot of times people don't realize the implications, the longevity of these things, how much care they're going to need. Talk to me about that for a minute.
Yeah, so God gave us dominion over the earth. And when you look at that along with God's character,
yeah.
we need to steward well what he's given us.
Absolutely.
And so if we're going to keep an animal in captivity, we need to make sure we're doing it very well.
Okay.
Because a lot of these animals probably shouldn't be kept in captivity, but they're here and they're really cool to look at. So I get why people want them, but a lot of people impulse buy. And they buy them and they don't know what they get into.
Mm.
Like, we have a 60-pound tortoise, and someone bought him when he was this big and was like, this will be cool. And then 16 years later, he's huge. And they require specific things. So when you take them out of their environment, you have to replicate that.
Okay.
And lighting, food, heating, all of that stuff.
Everything.
You need to know all of that about each individual species and be able to replicate it. And a lot of times that's very expensive.
Okay.
People buy a cheap animal.
Yeah.
And then you're going to spend 10 times more on lighting, enclosure, food, getting all that stuff set up. But if we're going to keep animals in captivity, we need to do it well.
Absolutely.
We need to do it in a way that's honoring to God.
You have contributed several pieces to the Wonder Center. We're sitting in the Wonder Center into the production studios right now, but in the Wonders of Zoology exhibit hall, you were able to set us up with two different types of geckos. And we talk about the incredible design of the gecko foot. We've got videos playing next to that. We are able to actually bring one out to introduce Carlos is his name to some of the museum guests and the children as they're walking around. Tell me just a little bit about them for a second.
Yeah, geckos are probably my favorite group of lizards. They're really cool. Their feet are just incredibly designed. And so when I heard about you doing the Wonder Center and Science Museum, I was super excited to get some live animals down here so people can see firsthand the amazing design of these animals. And so, yeah, we started throwing together an enclosure. And that was one of the things we've been passionate about, is getting animals to ministries that can use them to show and proclaim the glory of God.
Amen.
And so we're so excited that you guys have Carlos and Jeffrey down here so that people can come see them and hold them, interact. There's nothing like holding them because their feet.
I know. Their feet have these little, basically,
suction cups
that can stick straight upside down on glass.
Yeah. It's all or nothing system.
Yes. So when you say all or nothing, it's like, well, what if they had, you know, proto feet? Well, would those proto feet actually do any good for those characteristics to be passed on to their offspring? No, evolution doesn't work. Everything has to be designed into the creature from the very first moment. You are changing the narrative in your own way with Genesis Animal Sanctuary, with educating the public about these types of animals, with talking about the design of these creatures, the irreducible complexity of these creatures, and raising awareness not only for how to take care and nurture God's creation, but have a greater respect for the things that the Lord has placed around us for us to discover. So I just want to thank you for what you do. I want to thank you for joining us today to share your story, because it really is inspiring. At a young age, you've accomplished quite a lot, and you're making a tremendous difference. So thank you for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thank you for joining us on Changing the Narrative. I cannot wait to bring you these podcasts every week as we explore so many people throughout the country and throughout the world who are all changing the narrative back to truth. I'm David Reeves, and until next time, I want you to keep looking up, because truly, the heavens declare the glory of God. Find us on all social platforms to stay informed. Watch Genesis Science Network 24/7 for free on Roku, Fire TV, and on our website. Visit the world's largest origins-based store, creationsuperstore.com. Plan your trip to the Wonders Center and Science Museum just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Donate to our nonprofit ministry to help us continue sharing truth.